This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Come home for Christmas and I'll... Oh, Samuel. Version of you.
I played it just for you.
Oh my gosh, I love Noah Kahan. Is he coming back at any point in time where the tickets are not going to be $700?
Whether or not he's coming back, I will let you know in a moment. Whether or not the tickets will be $700, I can assure you they will be. Unless there's some major scandal and he gets canceled for some reason.
No, but, he is just so good. But I'm telling you, he came to... you know, the little
Azura Amphitheater. Sandstone, and whatever you want to call
it. God, I wanted to go so bad. Those tickets were $700.
And that was right on the tail end of his meteoric rise. Not that he has fallen off at all. He's just kind of plateaued out a little bit in popularity. But right before he came to Kansas City for that show, he blew up.
Yeah, they were expensive. How's everybody doing today? The weather, oh my gosh. This is one of those days where, you know, I know opening day was yesterday, so a lot of you may have had the day off. Maybe you played hooky for a little bit to watch that game. Today is the day I would rather be outside. It is sunny. It is the wind, gentle breeze. The trees are blooming.
I was gust to 40 miles per hour.
Yes, I was driving around in my car with the windows down. It was gusty. You are correct about that, Dan. And I was driving. I want to shout out to a couple of agencies today that probably don't get a lot of love. I told you yesterday I had to go to the Social Security office.
Yeah.
The one in Lenexa. There's one around 95th Street. They could not have been nicer. The process could not have been easier. I do have to go back next week because their computer system was down yesterday afternoon for a time, and I didn't have time to wait around.
And typically, bureaucracy and nice are not used
well,
in the same
I know,
sentence.
Like, they, I think they get a bad rap sometimes because today I went to the driver's license bureau, and I remember thinking, like, you still have that, I don't want to go do that. So I drive over there, the one where there's never ever anyone in line on
do
the Johnson County. I know, and it's so good.
Do not disclose it. It is our secret DMV.
Shh. And I walk in. I walk out with my new driver's license that was set to expire in a couple weeks in 14 minutes.
Wow.
No way. Did you have an appointment?
14 minutes. I did not have an appointment.
That place is incredible.
And I walked in at 11:30 on a Friday. So
wow.
I was bracing myself like, okay, maybe people take off lunch early. You know, they get out of the office. I've got to go get this done. And you guys, it's the end of the month, right? And so you would just expect people would be in there doing business. I walk in, there's like six people in there. There's eight or nine windows of people helping you. And there's a gigantic poster of Brian Busby urging everyone to be an organ donor.
And I do remember that poster
being
in there.
So
that's
I take
a
selfie with Brian's photo and I send it to Busby and I'm like, any guesses where I am? But they were so lovely. I was in and out, still want to be an organ donor, gave them all of my information.
Is that to suggest that your ID now matches your true name for the first time in how many years?
Everything matches. Everything matches. Now I have to get a new passport, but the process has been so lovely up to this point.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood that I just have to say, everybody's kind of got their act together. Oh, and dare I say, stop by the Johnson County Courthouse this morning just to get as much bureaucracy in my day as I could. That brand new courthouse is incredible.
Out in Olathe?
I had been, you know, to the old one as a reporter no fewer than 5,000 times.
Oh, I remember it.
It badly needed updated. I go in there and I'm looking around. That place is like the Taj Mahal again, I walk right up to the clerk's office. I get what I need. I'm out in 7 minutes. I mean, honestly, whoever is in charge of our little local places has done an incredible job.
What crime did you commit and who are you running from to be changing your ID and doing all of this in rapid succession? I'm
telling you, I got it all done today.
Are you fleeing the country and nobody knows about it?
I got it all done.
The universe lined up for you.
It did. Scott out for a funeral today, along with a lot of our friends and colleagues honoring the life and memory of Bob Davis today. And so he is out today, out Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday, but we are glad to have you on board, Dana and Parks. With a reminder, we will air the grievances promptly at 5:06 in this evening.
Festivus Friday every week brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
So we're going to start in the Shawnee Mission School District with a very interesting story that I found regarding a program that I did not know existed. If you are a parent or if you are in education, tell me if you knew about this. I'm pretty sure this came to us from my favorite little newspaper, the Shawnee Mission Post. So it turns out the school district is going to tweak their policy on how schools can use donations that come in. After they looked at the donations coming in district-wide and noticed disparities. Now, for any of you listening, you know, even if your children are long grown and flown, there are disparities district to district. There are disparities school to school within the district. And there are even disparities within the building of schools. Like, you are going to find unequal things, sometimes because of property taxes, sometimes because of other inequities.
I graduated from a Shawnee Mission School District high school, and my school was half wealthy, half not. And we always knew the one school that was known as wealthy and the one school that was known as not so wealthy. And everybody knew it.
Wherever you go to school, you know that these disparities exist, but maybe not in the way that you're about to learn. So listen to this story. The Shawnee Mission School Board could soon finalize new procedures aimed at addressing disparities in school-based donations. One goal of the move is to more closely scrutinize funds that are raised to pay for things like additional staff.
Okay.
We're not talking a bake sale here. We are talking substantial amounts of donations raised by parents to bring in extra positions like a para, like a music teacher. Now, follow me. I didn't even know this was going on.
Now, Shawnee Mission Schools also have the culinary program, which I do believe is paid for through donations and money that they are able to raise
the entire district, correct? That they draw kids into that culinary program from all over, right? So listen to this. To prevent inequity in donations that may allow some schools to gain educational advantage over others, the board's policy committee on Monday afternoon of this week reviewed a draft of an updated district donation policy, as well as a procedure to look over the money coming in that sometimes funds staff positions. A community-funded position is a Shawnee Mission employee whose wage is paid for through donations like PTA fundraisers or donors gifting to a school. So my first question for all of you listening, I don't care where you work, where your children went to school, this happens to be in Shawnee Mission. Did you know within the boundaries of some schools or school districts, there are private donations being made to fund things like teachers? Now, if you said to me, like, a PTO fundraiser is going to put new whiteboards in a classroom or to help fund students in music class who can't afford a new trumpet, I think most people would understand that. I did not know that some of those donations can be used and are being used to fund staff.
Now, I want to preface my next statement with, I'm not trying to down-talk any teacher or subject. These are auxiliary staff positions, right? Not the common core staff positions. We're not talking about mathematics.
It appears these are community-funded positions that are
Like maybe we have an advanced cooking class and we need some extra funding for that.
Or para in nature.
Okay.
So there's only a handful of such positions that exist in the district. But to some board members, as you can imagine, they represent a stark example of inequities that exist among the district's wealthier schools and those who cannot raise money to pay for additional staffers. And listen to the numbers. They are not going to come as a surprise. And I don't want to make this just about Shawnee Mission. I'm curious if this is going on in Lee's Summit, if this is going on in Independence, Kansas City, Blue Valley, Gardner, you name it. The numbers showed that the schools in Shawnee Mission East.
Oh, of course, obviously.
Brought in more than $2 million over the past 3 years.
And that was just one guy. No, I'm just kidding.
That is more than the other four high school feeder patterns combined.
Yeah, it's well known that if you go to Shawnee Mission East, you're probably in a higher income bracket than any other school in the district.
Quoting here from one of the board members, whether it's fair or not, there is a perception that there are wealthy schools within this district and they have a whole different set of experiences as maybe a different high school within the district that's not closer to
we can just say what the schools
Prairie
are,
Village
right?
and Mission Hills, right? Some of the money you guys paid for reading specialists, nicer facilities.
There's a reason that they got a brand new football stadium recently.
$2.15 million in donations over the previous three school years. Now, I can see this both ways. If you are a parent in a district and you all band together and raise a bunch of money and you want, fill in the blank, a new swimming pool for the swim team, a new, like, is that your right? Or because everyone deserves an equal education, should that money go into some pool and then divide it up evenly amongst the schools? And if we're going to do that, you know that those donations probably are not going to be as robust as we're seeing in this case.
I have a bad feeling that all this is going to do is ensure that the parents of one specific school that you may or may not have mentioned will stop donating as much because those resources will not go to
the highest
students.
School, when they looked at this, took in $2.15 million in donations in a couple of years. The second place school brought in $250,000 over 3 years. Same time period,
yep.
$250,000 versus $2.15 million.
I bet I can guess who that second school
How
was.
Do you stop it? And then if you can't, is it up to someone to equalize that? I think these are public schools. This is not Pembroke Hill. These are public schools. 913-586-7798. And if you work for a high school or middle school, you certainly don't want to turn down that money when it comes in, right? You need a new library. Why not use the money for a new library? 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Welcome on back. It is a topic that I absolutely love this hour, and we are asking for our teachers, educators, parents to weigh in on this. When I was growing up, we would sell candles, and the person or class that sold the most candles got a pizza party, and we probably raised a combined $96 for our classroom to help get supplies for that room. This was in, you know, the late 1970s in Topeka, Kansas. That is not how fundraising is done today. And in fact, in one district, and I'm curious if this is happening in other districts, I bet that it is, a task force looked at this and found that one school in the Shawnee Mission District, yes, it is East, had taken in $2.15 million in donations in the last 3 years. Shawnee Mission West, during that same time frame, took in $110,000.
Does it say where Shawnee Mission North was sitting?
North came in second.
Really?
At $250,000.
Hey, you go, North.
Followed by Northwest, Shawnee Mission South, and Shawnee Mission West. These are either wealthy donors, people who maybe pass away and leave some sort of in-kind donation after their passing.
Yeah.
Or this could be fundraising by parent groups at a higher level.
Now, I will say there are also perceived disparities. For example, some schools within a school district will have the fancy new football stadium and other schools will not. That has nothing to do with donations from the public. For example, within the Shawnee Mission School District, there are three schools that have football stadiums. One of them is brand new, the other not so new, the third is very old. That has nothing to do with the donations given to those schools. That's just because the district can't afford more than three stadiums.
So my question is then, you can't just tell the parents, sorry, we don't want your money, that raise all the money. What do you do? Let's go to Joe in Olathe, and the number again, 913-586-7798. Joe, I think this has probably been going on for a while. What is the solution?
Well, I'm not going to say I 100% know the solution, but I can tell you the consequences of making it equal is that you're going to stop people from donating if they guarantee that it isn't going to go to their kid's school. Private school enrollment will go up, and then the schools are going to lose funding. And we've never had an equal funding of our schools because of the way the system's set up, because of the property tax.
Correct. They try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. People live in those neighborhoods because they want to be there. They want to build up the area around them. They don't care about Wyandotte County. They don't care about Shawnee Mission West when they're working on East. They don't care about those things. They care about what's going to affect them and their kids. And if you're going to make, instead of, you know, Shawnee Mission East getting $2 million in donations next year, you're going to say, we're going to split it up and among all the schools. And they're just going to say, well, we're not going to donate it because if it's not going to our kids, so why donate?
It's a good point, Joe. Thank you for it. And I think I would tweak one thing that we're going to cut you loose, Joe. There's a, are you, is he at a recycling center?
I have no idea. Somebody's like screaming in the background.
913-586-7798. I will just tweak one thing that he said. The parents don't care. I think overall the parents do care. But if you are donating $500,000 to a school as a parent, you want it to be your school. I think they care, but I think, look, like if you go out and legitimately raise $500,000, it doesn't mean you don't care about the other schools, but it makes perfect sense that you would want that money to go to your school.
We had a caller online too, who didn't hang on the line, who shared a similar sentiment that if we are able to make the donations to our school, those donations should go to our school. And it's tough because it is based on property taxes. And I know that there are some other districts that have disparities between schools. Within Lee Summit, one of the schools has a full broadcasting studio.
Yep. So let's
the rest
say,
of the schools do not. But is that district funding or is that private donation?
Well, I think some of it can be both. You know, let's say I pass away and I have $10 million in the bank, which I do not. And I decide I want $2 million of those dollars upon my death to fund a broadcast studio at a school that does not have one. Shouldn't that be my right to do that? And shouldn't it be the school's right to say, absolutely, we will take that money. Thank you. To educate our kids. I don't have enough money to put a broadcast studio in every single school as a learning lab, but I have enough money to put it into one. So under this revision of policy, the district actually has proposed five different things that are to be used as guidelines when money comes in donated by the moms and the dads. Number one, donations cannot be accepted to fund full-time or part-time positions, including classroom teachers, but should go primarily to positions like teachers' aides and classroom interventionists, which sounds to me, that can't be an EIP, because if you need an EIP, you have the right to have that. Someone will have to tell me what a classroom interventionist is. Let's go to Jill in Parkville. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I was going to say, in California, there's something called a Serrano decision where a parent sued the school district his child was in a district next to Beverly Hills, and he felt that his child didn't have appropriate equipment and books or comparable to the Beverly Hills district, which it was very obvious. And
oh, sure.
California came out with what they called the equalization funding, and all school districts have to fill out kind of like a tax return. It's a very involved application or submission, kind of like, to say what they need based on how many students they have that are Chapter 1 eligible, low income, special ed, all that. And then all of the districts are evaluated the same, and they decide if they were going to be 100% funded. Let's say it was going to be $1,000, would cover all the schools in the district. Then your district would take what its form said that you needed to fund your school. You would deduct your local property taxes, and the rest you would expect to get from the state. Then the state added all of those necessary amounts for each district to be made equal, and the state would say, okay, we can fund 100%, or we can fund 90%. And if the state only had enough to fund 90% of that, they would say the schools were being deficit funded by 10%, and every school would get the share that they were entitled to, so that it's called equalization funding.
Got it, which makes sense, Jill. And I would add to that, is there any worse place to live? If you are a parent who wants the very best for your children, is there much worse of a place to live than right next door to the Beverly Hills School District?
It's the richest district in the country.
Of course, that is not going to be equitable. And I'm glad she brought up the application. Proposition number 3 reads as follows. Donors who want to fund an extra staff position must complete an application to be evaluated by school district officials. They're not saying no, and I'll read you the other 3 bullet points when we come back, especially as it relates to special ed teachers. And I understand that. They don't want a parent funding a special ed teacher at one school where there isn't a special education teacher at another school. That clearly, Sam, would be unfair.
I'm trying to figure out how this would play into teachers so much as it would into the facilities and how nice and new the facilities are.
Because
I feel like the teachers would be a requirement by the state.
Not if you want an extra librarian.
Go hire a tutor.
913-586-7798. We'll take more of your calls straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. All right, come on in, everybody. 913-586-7798 as we march toward Festivus Friday on this beautiful, windy Friday here in town. I just don't think anyone can be surprised when they look within the body of one school district, that can be any school district, that there are going to be disparities between donations when it comes to the PTO or the bake sale or people passing away with a whole lot of money in the bank and willing or gifting large sums of money to one of the schools in wherever district you live by, right? There are going to be disparities. One of the things the Shawnee Mission School Board is looking at is updating their policies so that the disparity isn't so gigantic, or at least the optics of what's going on maybe aren't quite as...
I wonder how long this has been going around in the district and how long there have been whispers about this policy update coming down.
Since there were schools.
From the text line, I am the parent of an elementary student in the Shawnee Mission East feeder school area. We just had an auction and we wanted that money to go to a new counselor for our school.
There you go.
We raised a bunch of money and I haven't heard if they're interested in continuing the auction, but they did just hear that that would be their last.
Which does not surprise me, as they are trying to figure out what does the policy look like when money comes in like that.
So are we already seeing the rollout of this new policy? Sorry, guys, they want to go ahead and take this money and pass it around to schools evenly. We're just not going to raise the money.
I will give you the other 3 bullet points that they are looking at tweaking this policy here in just a second. We've already given you 2. Donations cannot be accepted to fund full-time or part-time teaching positions. Okay. And donors must now complete an application that will be evaluated by district officials. And I'll give you the rest of them here in a minute. Let's go to Kenny in Marshall. Hi, Kenny.
It's kind of interesting on this. I've got there's a Catholic church in
far out in Kansas, and one of my friend's mother died, and she left $4,000 to the church.
Yeah.
The archdiocese took it and distributed it through all the churches.
Oh, interesting. Instead of the one.
Instead of the one. The one got like $10,000, and they spread it out through all the churches because the archdiocese confiscated it. They were going to do upgrades to the gym and everything and help the school out, but they got $10,000. That's all they got.
You know, I wonder, Kenny, when you pass away, let's say you pass away and you want to give $10,000 to a specific church, do they have to abide by that? Or you know, we don't know. Maybe the donor, when they passed, said, we just want this to go to...
That's interesting because I...
When I die, if I give someone $10,000, I don't care if it's to my dog. I want that money going to where I say it should go.
I was raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic school, so I know this... this area well. When we built our new church, I do believe that any donations to go to help pay for that church just went straight to the church. So if you build it first and take the debt, that's weird.
The difference being, and everyone understands this, church is optional.
School is
mandatory. Is not.
Yeah.
Let's go to Carter in Belton. Hi, Carter. Welcome on in. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, good, good. Go ahead.
So I agree with it not being used for teachers, but when it comes to facilities, anybody should be able to build whatever facility because at least within the SMSD, the facilities do get shared. Any student who goes to Shawnee Mission West, like I did, we all graduated and all of our home football games were at the stadium at Shawnee Mission South.
Yeah.
Now, on the reverse side of that, West, at least to my knowledge, granted I graduated back in 19, had the only welding lab in the district. So if you had welding first period, you would have students come in from all the other SMSD schools who wanted to do welding as an elective.
And, you know, I think, Carter, thank you for the call. I think schools are starting to figure that out because in where my children graduated, Blue Valley, they have the DAC. They pay for one giant facility where everyone can play football instead of paying for nine different football stadiums. Same with swimming pools.
And if you are a football player at Shawnee Mission East, you go to Shawnee Mission North for your home games because they have the full-size stadium.
Here are your other bullet points that they are looking at when it comes to updating the let's donate money to our school policies, okay? Donations cannot be accepted for classroom or special ed teachers or staff positions that are not present at other schools at the same level. Let me give you an example there. Counselors in elementary schools. So let's say within the body of that district, every school in the elementary grades has one counselor. Let's just for argument's sake, every single school has one counselor. Under these guidelines, you would not be able within an elementary school to raise $70,000 and fund an additional counselor for your school.
It's funny you mentioned that, and I had not read the story, so I didn't know that this was one of the bullet points, but that's exactly what the texter was talking about. They held an auction for was for a counselor. And we've had two other texters text in, probably from the same exact elementary school, talking about the same auction and how it's never going to be held again.
So you raised all of that money. Let's say they raised $100,000. Where does that money go now? Because the fundraiser was to fund a school counselor position. And I want to be clear for any of you listening that were part of that fundraiser. These are
suggestions. These
are propositions.
Right.
Like, let's look at these five things that need to be adopted by the board. The way I read this, up until now, you would be fine. Now, they might be saying, you know, we're in the middle of kind of taking a look at this.
So in theory, the funding that they just compiled for that counselor could still go to a counselor for that specific school.
Here are the other two bullet points that might have a little bit of a freezing effect on the fundraising. The superintendent of schools will be charged with recommending to the school board whether to approve or deny any donation that would pay for an additional staff position. So the superintendent is over all of the feeder school, all of the schools. The superintendent would have to then say to the board, look, these parents at this elementary school really want a music ed para, just someone to help out with the arts. The superintendent would then say to the board, I believe we should allow this. or I believe we should not allow this. And then you'd have to go back to the parents and say, so sorry, you raised 100 grand. Is there anything else you would like to, you know, maybe snack machines, which...
I mean, I don't think that they should be allowed to fund teachers directly anyway. I think that that should be up to the district. And if you want more money in your district, give it to the district so that it's equally spread across the schools. However, if you are a theater graduate, Paul Rudd, I mean, how many famous people have we had come out of the Shawnee Mission School District?
Yep.
And you want to give $1 million directly to that theater program, you should be allowed to do that.
If the board ultimately approves a donation request for a community-funded staff position, the district will still be responsible for hiring and supervising that individual. Of course. So the parents can't go and say, hey, here's 100 grand. We want you to hire my friend Marsha.
Yeah, she's great. She'll bring your theater department together. No.
I think most people do understand that. Like that no matter what money is raised, they're going to have the final say over it. And we'll just wrap with this. One of the school board members is quoted as saying, this is a tough issue that we are trying to strike a balance for equity across our district with some school community's ability and enthusiasm for fundraising.
I'm seeing a lot of the same sentiment on the text line. Life's not fair.
No, of course not. Of course not. You know, a lot of people would probably love to live in Beverly Hills or Mission Hills. That is not the reality for 99% of people, right?
I think it'd be pretty nice to live in Mission Hills.
Oh, I would do
it. I would do it.
I'd love it. Very, yeah. Very close commute to work. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks. We're going to bounce here for a little bit. And then when we get back, have you ever done a full body MRI scan? They're expensive, but if you got something going on that is hiding somewhere deep down inside,
whoa,
will it reveal that thing? And I think most of us would say, look, if I've got like pancreatic cancer going on down there, or like someone I know, there is a tumor like way under your breast bone. So it's not something that a self breast exam found, not something that your typical mammogram would find. Would an MRI scan be worth the money to uncover those things in an otherwise healthy adult? We'll talk about that here in just a second. But coming off of this school story, and when you have it, let me know, Sam. Check your email.
We're ready.
There is the funniest video on Reels going around, and I'm going to set the stage here before we play it. It looks like some sort of school pageant or program of some kind.
And that's a Christmas show.
There's a woman up on the stage. This is clearly an elementary school. The cutest little redheaded child is up there. She looks maybe five years old. And this little girl has the microphone, and her job is to thank all of the people and the parents for coming. Hilarity then ensues. Just play it.
I am very proud of myself and all of my other friends inside my class. And my class is really sweet, except one little boy.
What did he do to her?
We're going
to
play it again because the funniest part about it, and we'll put this on our social media channels. I don't know how long ago this was. I don't care. We will put it on social because it is one of the funniest reels I've ever seen. This little girl just commands the stage. She has got the microphone like she's been a reporter for 20 years.
She's got the sass hand going.
And she says, I am so proud of our school. Everyone in my class is really sweet. And then when she pauses and she says, except that one little boy, listen to what she says after that. She goes, I'm going to tell you.
I'm very proud of myself and all of my other friends inside my class. And my class is really sweet, except one little boy.
cuts off when she goes, I need to tell you, the adult, like one of the teachers or staffers up there, is laughing so hard, but then just like takes the microphone. Mm-hmm. And then that little girl just sassy, like waves at everybody and just exits stage left.
I am not waiting to figure out what she is about to say
except
to the crowd.
One little boy. I need to tell you.
That little jerk.
God, that made me laugh. And then this story out of South Carolina before we wrap our hour. A new incentive program will pay some South Carolina families each week for perfect attendance as absenteeism continues to hamper school performance.
Okay.
The pilot program, which allows the Charleston County School District to divvy out $25 a week per student to at least 1,900 students and their families, rolled out on March 10th. Students within 10 selected grades and schools will be eligible to continuously receive money through a designated debit card, but only if their child achieves perfect attendance every week until the end of the year, May 16th.
So $25 a week per student every single week.
Most of them, I will tell you, are elementary schools. There are two middle schools listed and two high schools listed. So you know what the district did? They looked at attendance trends. They chose the, you know, 9 or 10 schools where attendance is the worst and the school test scores are probably suffering because of it. And they said, look, what if we give you $25? That's $100 a month.
Yeah.
You would get on a gift card for just getting your kid to school.
I mean, that's more than most kids get an allowance.
There is some parameter put on this. Parents, guardians, or students over 18 will receive the card. It's not going directly to the elementary kid. Card holders will only be able to use the cards on necessities, gas, transportation, utilities, or food. If there are multiple students in one household, each student is eligible for their own $25.
By the way, if you go to school every single day of that school year, the average school year being 180 days or 36 weeks long, depending on the state that you're in, you will get $900 by the end of that year.
In theory, quoting here from one of the district leaders, if this works, the data shows significant improvements over human capital investments. It would be a higher priority to provide these types of rewards. And guess what? The district reported, quote, significant increases in perfect attendance across the included schools. That was just in the first 2 weeks.
Now, what if you have an appointment or something? Does that, dock your pay? Yeah, if you're sick, I mean, I've got the flu. I'm showing up. I want my $25.
I'm sorry.
Bucks.
I don't believe in vaccines. My kid has the measles, but we're not giving up that gift card.
You better believe it. I want my $900 by the end of the year.
When we get back, have you done the full body MRI scan? If you're in healthcare, I want to talk to you. If you would do it, it's not cheap. I want to talk to you as well. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.